What I'd like to talk to you about is my experience working on a project with Wiradjuri elders. It was part of my PhD, but it started well before then. When I first came to Charles Sturt University in my first year, I was doing some audio recording for the museum, the Wagga Music Regional Museum, and I met Auntie Flo Grant. And Auntie Flo Grant she passed away last year, but she's such a forward-thinking person that even in my first year of university, she's saying, "What are you doing after university? Would you like to come and work with us?" And I said, "Oh, yes, sure." I had no idea what that would be, and she didn't really either. I think she had more of an idea than me, but that became the starting point for a discussion. And over time, I met a number of elders, other elders, including her brother, Uncle Stan Grant, and Uncle Jimmy Ingram, and many, many people, elders and also community members. And when I started the project, I had very little understanding of what we were going to do and how to do it, and also what my role would be and how I would be in that project. So as much as I could, I tried to keep an open mind about that. And because we didn't have a defined project in mind, the whole thing became a process of discussion, of trying things out. And we did a number of kind of small scale experiments, I guess, where we would try a little project here, a little project there. And over time, these things evolved. And they involved so that, as my supervisor said to me once, this is the first collaborative PhD that I've been involved in. Because a PhD is typically about you know, the person who's doing it. And that is, there may be a subject of research, but it's very much the person's doing the research and then there are other people being researched, you know, those kind of, you know, sort of conventions. But in the way that we were doing it, we were conscious of creating something that wasn't so much about my voice and my opinion, but about the knowledge that was the elders that they wanted to pass on. And these things aren't just, and as we went along, it became very clear that knowledge isn't something that's just there in a neat package. It's also about the way that you do things. And so the way that you do things became a really important part of what we were doing. So I learned about a Wiradjuri concept, which wasn't that well known when we started outside of their community, and that is Yinyamara. And Yinyamara is, on one level, it's about respect, but it's also about going slowly. It's also a matter of taking time to discern which is the right way to do things. And then it's also about a kind of honoring. But more than this, it's about a whole way of life. It's the whole Wiradjuri way of seeing the world and way of seeing themselves has been historically and is now an important framework for how they move about in the world. And how they relate to themselves and their community, and also how they relate to other communities. The idea that you respect everybody, and if you have that framework in mind, then if you're someone who's coming into that as a creative professional working in that space, then if you bring respect first, then you've got it. Then you've got a really good understanding. And what does respect imply? Well, it implies that you listen, that you listen very, very carefully to what's being said, and that you be prepared to change. If you come in with a set view that you're going to do something, then that's probably the first thing that will go if you have an open mind. Because what's the most important thing? What you want to do? Or is it what the community wants to do? If, in a way, if someone wants you to do something for their community, it's not about your agenda at all. It's about finding a way to assist and support. And one of the first things to notice is that, well, if you're not the right person to do that, then you should be frank about it. If you don't have the skills, if you don't have the capacity, or you don't, or it will take you a long time to get that capacity, then maybe one of their own community would be better off doing it. And there are plenty, and don't think that you are the essential ingredient. In a way, you can be very, very helpful. Often people think, well, it's up to the, whatever community is, whatever nation it is, to do that for themselves. And to a certain extent, that's true. They need to drive whatever project they're involved in. So the Wiradjuri very much drivers of their own projects. But you can come in and you can support, and you can bring all of your skills and all of your knowledge and bring it into alignment with what the project's goals are, according to the community, according to the elders involved. I had my head rearranged several times during this process. I once went and had a half-hour conversation with an elder from Tumut, and as I was talking to him, I realized that the idea that I was proposing was so superficial, was so nothing compared to his vision of the world and what he wanted to do, that it changed my whole perspective of what I was doing and why I was doing it. And it took me days, and I'm still, in some ways, I'm still thinking and realizing the depth of what he was saying. And it was about not just telling a story. It wasn't just about me making some little animations as I thought I was going to make then. It became, there is an incredible culture here. There is incredible depth of understanding of this country and how to be on this country that I had no idea about. I thought all that was lost. Yeah? And I realized that it's not lost. It was just not known to someone like me. But what I also gathered was that knowledge was precious, and that people, elders, now wanted to share that knowledge and to document that, and share it primarily with their own community, but also make it to the available to the broader community to a certain extent, because the broader community needed to know how to understand, to relate to Wiradjuri people, and to relate to Wiradjuri country. So this vision that we were creating something that fitted all these different scenarios. First of all, it was deep, authentic knowledge that was real. And one of the things that made it real was Wiradjuri language. So when I said, oh, Uncle Stan, I'd like to make a film about Yinyamara. And I described a little bit about what I thought it would be good. He said, well, yeah, okay, but I'm not going to narrate it for you. You're going to have to narrate it, and it should be narrated in language. So you're going to have to learn the language. So that meant that I had to spend a couple of years learning a sufficient Wiradjuri language in order to be part of that, to actually narrate that story. And then the next thing was that, well, what am I going to film? And he said, I thought, you know, it'd be really clear what we would do. And he said, no, just go out on country and you film what you come across, you know. So it was kind of follow your nose and this kind of intuitive approach to being on country and being open to the experience of being on country, to being open to the engagement with the animals and the nature and whatever was revealed through that process. And it was a really good advice. It was a really interesting way to make a film. And so part of the Yinyamara is that stepping back and being able to observe, rather than imposing my existing view on the landscape, my existing view in engagement and interaction with people. It's just this sort of stepping back and being patient and allowing experience to come to you. This is a very different way of relating to life. So we went to the point where, okay, we'll make this film, and that, okay, you're going to do the work, yeah? You're going to do the work in learning the language. And in a way, what does this learning the language show? Respect, yeah? And the thing that I didn't realize was that so much knowledge of the cultural knowledge was in the language. There's so many different concepts in Wiradjuri that are about this respectful way of being and about Wiradjuri country. And then what we did then was we sort of ran workshops and we talked to lots of people, and we got different inputs from different people about what Yindyamara was. So in the film that you'll see as part of your course, it's got the input of, I imagine, like serious input of about 30 Wiradjuri people, including a number of senior elders. And all of those things were often expressed not in language, but in English. So part of the job was to translate those values back to Wiradjuri language. So in other words, return them to language. There had never been a 15-minute film made in Wiradjuri language, as far as we could work out. And so when we made the film and we were screening it across Wiradjuri country, including in the Aubrey Gallery on the wall outside, projecting into the street, it was one of the first times that kind of Wiradjuri country was made kind of public again, in a way, since the bad days when it was actually banned. So Uncle Stan had that experience of not being able to speak his language. And his grandfather had that even more so, that they couldn't speak the language in the street. So there's a lot of political things going on with just returning language to something where it's being spoken. And now, as part of that project and several others that we were involved in, including making some animations and things like that, we really did contribute to the reclaiming of the language and making it a living language. There are a lot of people speaking the language now. And 10 years ago, that wasn't so many. There weren't so many. So it's a very interesting kind of thing to be part of. And the idea, and it's also becoming more common that people have an understanding of Yindyamara, not just Wiradjuri people, but the people, non-Wiradjuri people living on Wiradjuri country also understand that that's an important, many understand that that's an important concept. Part of what's happening now is you're learning about Yindyamara and what it means. So in a way, it's been a pretty amazing journey. Where I started, not knowing much. Also, having had the experience of growing up on Wiradjuri country on a farm and living on country, but not really knowing Wiradjuri people as far as I knew. I learned later that I did know some Aboriginal people, some Aboriginal families, but I didn't know that they were. And then just realizing that as someone who's not Aboriginal, someone who's not Wiradjuri, to suddenly find myself deeply kind of engaged in this way is quite healing, quite transformative. So although maybe I started with the idea of good intentions, yeah, what I gained from the project, my change in understanding, my depth of understanding of the country that I grew up on, and also then, of course, of myself, became a very important thing in my life. I don't think I've got much more to say than this, really, that this journey has been very, very important to me. Think about it. If you've got the opportunity to be involved, approach it humbly, respectfully, take your time, learn, listen, take your time, and then do your best. And know that you're definitely not going to be in it as an individual. You're going to be part of a team, and you'll probably be the junior member of the team, because the elders, a lot of them have got really good technical and creative knowledge, and really sometimes all they need is an ally that can help them realize their vision, and sometimes they'll appreciate the extra details to that vision that you can bring.